Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 17. Hymn number 17. Seated, we'll sing hymn number 454. 454.
Jesus, my Jesus, what a wonderful Savior. Chapter 1. I'm going to read what I've read the last couple of weeks because I'm just dealing with a couple of verses, but you got to look at all of them to get there. First seven verses, Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. O our God, our blessed Father in heaven, you are our Father, you are our God, we're your people. We were not a people, now we're the people of God. Lord, you brought the light to us, you brought the grace of God to us, you brought salvation to us. And Lord, we're so blessed and so thankful that you've done that for us. And oh Lord, we can never from the depth of our heart and souls praise you enough, love you enough, worship you enough, acknowledge you enough, and oh Lord, please help us to sanctify you in our hearts, set you apart in our hearts and our understanding, so that our thoughts are upon you more than on anything else in this world. Lord, we need you. Oh, how we need you. We got brothers and sisters that bodies are so frail and so weak, and people that are providentially hindered because you and your providence has worked it in a way that they are not able to attend. But Lord, we know that they're yours. We know that you're with them. We know that you'll uphold them. We know that you'll meet their needs. Lord, we love you, my preacher brethren. God bless them that are standing tonight to preach. Use them to your glory, the good of their dear saints. Use me tonight to the edifying of these children of God that's gathered here tonight. Forgive us of everything that's unlike you. Bless my dear brothers and sisters here. Save you people in this place. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Number 16 in the court Number 16 in the course book.
You may feast at Jesus' table.
I want to look at two verses this evening, verses 6 and 7. And the apostle, when he begins to speak, he starts to describe the Christians at Rome, the believers at Rome. He turns from his personal introduction, being an apostle, the message, the gospel of God concerning his son. And he turns his attention now to the people he's writing to, the Roman Christians. And here he gives us four descriptions of them. And the first thing you notice, I want you to say, he said in verse 7, to all that be in Rome. That's the thing about it. To everybody that's a believer in Rome, that's who he's writing to. It made no difference to him who they were. Absolutely made no difference to him whom they were. And all is to all that be in Rome. And there's lots of different people, it's kind of people in Rome. There were wealthy people, poor people, and smart people and not so smart people. People who were somebody and some people that was nobodies. But there's all, he said, to all that be in Rome, to all that be in Rome. And he gives us, and he deals with us and shows us four things about these people. And the first one is there in verse 6. Among whom also are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's talking about in the last line of chapter 5. For His name, for the glory of Christ, for the sake of Christ, for the honor of Christ, among all them that are also the called of Jesus Christ. You know, one thing we know about the gospel is that God uses the gospel to call His people. And Peter made this distinction. He says, make your calling and election sure. Well, how do you make your calling and election sure? And that's what he says, you're the called of Jesus Christ. And how do you make your calling sure? You keep Romans now. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me show you something over here if I can. I haven't used this in a long time, I don't think. But 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, look what it says here. You know, how are you going to make your calling and election sure? How? First of all, you got to look at your calling. You know, here's the thing. You got to look at how you're called, what kind of people were called. For you see, you're calling brethren. This is how God called you. He didn't call many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty people that were somebody, princes and all the people that's mighty and powerful and wise and the world looks after them. Not many noble, but God chose the foolish things of the world. And I tell you what, how can you tell you're called? I tell you, you know who the Lord Jesus Christ calls? He said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's the only people that Jesus Christ calls to Himself. The called. If I'm called of Christ, I was called because I was a sinner. I was called and set apart because I was a sinner. And why does He call them? To save them. He calls them to save them. Why else would He call a person to Himself except to save them? To glorify God in saving sinners. To manifest His sovereign grace. Paul says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. And all we're called of Christ Jesus. And oh, listen, look what else it says there. You're called of Christ Jesus. Called only, not only called of Christ Jesus, but called to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christ called us. Christ called us. He's the one that called us, and He called us to Himself. He called us to Himself. And you know, that's the thing, called to be Jesus, belong to Jesus Christ. Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. And we was called to be the Lord Jesus Christ's property, belong to Him. We was given to Him in a covenant. God gave us to Christ in a covenant before the world ever began. And then He gave us to Him by promise. He promised us to Christ. And Christ promised to come and pay our sin debt and save us by His grace and die for us and put our sin away. And then He bought us, purchased us with His own precious blood. Oh, there's a sign over there by where we live, and they put some of the, oh God, they don't know Christ. It's awful. But they says, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. What have you done for Him? What have you done for Him? And I thought about that. You know what I've done for Christ? I own Him to be Lord. I own Him to be the only Savior. I own Him to be my righteousness. I worship Him. I adore Him. And I believe Him. And I trust Him. And give Him all the glory. Now that's what I've done for Him. But the only reason I do that for Him, because He called me to do that. I wouldn't do that had He not called me to be that way. I would have not known anything about Him had He not done this for me. Ain't that right? I'd have never praised Him if He had not called me. Oh my. And then bought us with His precious blood. And here's another thing. He called us by power. You know the power that it took for God to save us, to call us to Himself, the power that was manifested in our hearts and souls? In Ephesians 1, he says, the power that raised up Jesus Christ by the dead is the power that He saved us by. That's why Paul said, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. And oh my, called to be the Lord Jesus Christ, and He preserves us to be His own. You know, I'll tell you what, if Christ didn't preserve us, I heard Big Elmcrest preaching this morning, and bless his heart, oh my, God blessed him so. And that's what he was talking about, Christ being our safeguard. Christ being our safeguard. That Christ will protect us and guard us and preserve us. And I'll tell you what, and here's the thing about it, we want to be preserved. And because we know what we are, we need to be preserved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't preserve ourselves. We can't do that. And all we're called to Jesus Christ, called for Christ's sake, called to Him by Him. And then look what else it says about it. To all that be in Rome in verse 7. I love this. I just love this right here. Beloved of God. Beloved of God. Oh, one of Scott Richardson's favorite sayings always, before time ever was. How many times he'd say that? Before time ever was. Well, I'll tell you what. We was loved of God before time ever was. Well, before time, before us as a people, as individuals, God loved us. Oh, my. You know, He said He loved us with an everlasting love. And with cords of loving kindness, He called us. And oh my, you know, He said this to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I knew you. I knew you. I knew you. And that's the same thing Paul said when he separated me from my mother's womb. He knew him before he ever existed in his mother's womb. And let me show you. Look over in John 17 with me. Oh my. And in time we were separated from our mother's womb. John 17. We were just like Jeremiah in time. We were separated from our mother's womb. And then we were called. Oh, we were loved of God back there. And once God starts loving you, and if God ever loved you, He never stops loving you. And nothing about us ever caused Him to love us. These preachers, you know, they want to try to convince you how much God loves you and that how much you need Him. But the fact is, beloved, God, they say He gave Christ to show how much He loved us. No, He loved us is why He gave Christ for us. He didn't do it to prove how much He loved us. He loved us so much and loved His elect so much and loved the people whom Christ was going to die for so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for them and live for them and rise again for them to put their sins away. Oh, the beloved of God. And I tell you what, there's not many people in this world that God loves. There's not many people in this world God loves. In fact, there was one time that He only loved eight. Only loved eight. Let the rest perish. And as far as the world's concerned right now, that's about all that's left now. It's about eight. Used to say all the time, said, you know, I know I'm at least one of the seven out of the eight. And I said, I'm pretty sure about me, but I don't know, I know about you. We used to joke like that. But I'm telling you something. God don't love everybody. If He loved them, He loved before they were. And He loved them while they are. And He loves them when they're gone. Because the love of God never does stop. Oh my. I tell you, He is in an eternity of God. In eternity, yet to be called the beloved of God. To God to be beloved. You know what it says? We accept it in the beloved. Oh, what is my beloved more than anybody else's beloved? He asked it over there in Ecclesiastes in the Song of Solomon. What is my beloved more than anybody else's? I'm my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. Oh, God called them His beloved. Oh, to be beloved. And you know, we all got people that we love. Oh, for they're beloved to us. But oh, for God to say to you and me, beloved, you know. He just speaks in your beloved. Beloved. Oh my, nothing about us induced Him to love us. And I'll tell you something else. Nothing in this world can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And God gave His Son because He loved us. Sent us the gospel because He loved us. And then look what else it says. Oh, beloved of God. Listen, it's in John 17. I'm sorry. Let me go to that. Look, I told you John 17. Look in verse 6. This is what I'm talking about. Beloved of God. He said, I've manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Oh, You gave them to Me. When did You give them to You? Before the world ever began. And look what He says. And Thou gavest them Me. And I love this right here. They kept Your word. I give it to them. They keep it. They keep it. They keep it. And look what He says down verse 23. Oh, talking about the love of Christ. The love of God. Beloved of God. He said, I'm in them. And O Lord, God, Father, You're in Me. That they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me. And listen to this now. And hast loved them just like You love Me. Now you talk about a mouthful. You love them just like You love Me. That's how God said. Our Lord said, they know that You sent Me. And that You love them. You love them like You love Me. How do you get your head around that? And God said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And God said, I love you just like I love my son. Oh my. All right, let's go back over here in Romans and look what it says. Beloved of God, called of Jesus Christ, called to Jesus Christ, and called to be the Lord Jesus Christ people. And then called to be saints. Called to be saints. Oh my. Oh, if I could say it this way, commissioned, set apart to be a saint. Just like Paul was set apart to the gospel. Paul was set apart to be an apostle. We were set apart to be saints. Now, I think I've told you all this before. I'm sure I have. That St. Thomas Aquinas, or Thomas Aquinas, was the first Catholic that started teaching that some of the saints had so much merit and had so much worth and had so much merit in them that if you asked them saints, if you didn't have enough merit, you could ask them and they'd give you some of theirs. That's why they always pray to the saints. Oh, Saint so-and-so, I need some merit from you. But the only merit, the only person who had merit in this whole universe was the Lord Jesus Christ. Merit has something to do with worth. But oh my. You, listen, he said, we're saints. If you got any merit you can give me, you gonna give me some of your worth? Well, neither one of us got any worth. There's nothing else we can do. What are we gonna give to one another? But that's what they taught. And they still teach that. But oh my. It calls, if you're called to be Jesus Christ and you're His, you're called to be saints. And you can't be a saint without being called. And you can't be called without being a saint. And I said it here the other day. Everybody I'm looking to out of here this evening that's a believer, I could call you saint. Saint Brad back yonder. St. Jude. That don't hard sound right, does it? But that's what God says we are. Saint means separated one. That's all it means. Separated. Sanctified. Set apart. Oh my. Listen. Oh, saint. And you know, saint means consecrated one, separated one, dedicated one, belonging to God. Now, back in religion, and then of course, people do this. They'd go through the Bible and have character studies. You know, you'd use Abraham or David or somebody in the scriptures and use them for a character study. So when they preach the character, so that you would adapt to some of the characteristics of that character in the Bible. Don't work so good. But also it means this, and also it means, you know, that back in the day that we thought people was, boy, I'd like to be as holy as they was. I wish I was as dedicated as they was. I wished I could live like they did. Well, I got news for you. Oh, aren't you glad God called us out of that darkness into His marvelous light? And oh my, now, saint doesn't mean that you're especially holy. That's not what it means. And it doesn't apply to a spiritual condition that we're in. Oh, he acts so saintly, acts so godly. You hear these people call them reverend, right reverend. And oh my, but it's not has to do with our spiritual condition. I don't feel like a saint, and I certainly don't act like a saint, as what people call saintly. But I tell you what, when God says you're a saint, I'd rather believe what God says about me than anybody else. Wouldn't you? You know, I won't believe what God says about me. I don't care what anybody else says. But oh, listen, saint has to do with our spiritual position. We stand before God as holy as we're ever going to be. We stand before God as righteous as we'll ever be. We belong to God. We're beloved of God. We're called of Jesus Christ, to Christ, to our calling. And by His glorious and blessed grace, we seek to honor Him who gave us such a glorious, glorious, glorious position to be called saint. To be called saint. Oh my. You know, and then in Rome, it says, to all that be in Rome, called, beloved, saints. And He says, those that are in Rome, not those that are in a monastery. That's where the first place Catholics go, to a monastery. You reckon that makes them any better than anybody else getting off by themselves? I used to think that all the time, back when I was a young believer and young preacher. I used to think all the time, I would love to move away and go someplace where nobody knows me at all and start all over. And then it dawned on me, I said, if I go, I got to go with me. And that ain't going to work. Wherever I go, I got to take me with me. And that ain't no sense going somewhere else, because I got to go too. And I know everybody's thought about that sometimes. Boy, I sure would like to go someplace else, start where nobody knows. But the fact is, I know me, and I got to take me with me. And also, just well stay here and be with everybody just like me. Oh, but all them that be in Rome, not in a monastery, not in seclusion, but these people are surrounded by heathenism and paganism. And oh my, lots and lots of different believers in Rome. There were high ones, low ones, rich and poor, yet all of them are in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of them called of God. All of them beloved of God. All of them called to be saints. Oh my. You know, and the believers were blamed for everything that happened in Rome. They threw them to the lions. They burned them at the stake. They burned them as candles. And oh, they just mistreated them. Awful, awful when Nero took over. But oh my. And in Rome, he said, in Rome, to all that be in Rome. Oh my. In Rome, no matter what the troubles, no matter what the trials, no matter what the sorrows, no matter what the difficulties, the temptations of anybody in Rome, one thing was true. They were beloved of God, they were called, and they were saints, and they were Christ. And that's all that's necessary in this word. Then look what he says down here in the last part of the verse. This is one way that Paul greeted almost everybody that he wrote to. First thing he said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. These two words can sum up the gospel. These two words can sum up the gospel. Grace. Salvation is by grace. Free grace. Sovereign grace. And grace is the cause of everything that's good within us. Grace was given us in Christ before the world ever began. And grace is the cause. And you know what the effect is when grace comes? Peace. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Oh, peace. Oh, they summed up the gospel. Grace is the cause. Grace is the cause. Peace is the effect. And grace is opposed to debt. You can't be in debt and have grace. Oh, let me show you what I mean by that. Look over in Romans chapter 4 and verse 4. Romans 4:4. Let me show you what I mean by that. Oh, my. You know, if God done grace, He said here in Romans 4:4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. If you're working, then grace don't have a thing in the world to do with it, but of debt. And oh, grace and debt do not go together. You can't have grace and still be in debt. Grace took care of all of our debts. Christ took care of all of our debts. And we don't owe, people say, well, we owe God this, we owe God that. As far as God's concerned, we don't owe Him anything. We really don't. Oh, no, no, no. I tell you what, what He gave to us, did He not give it freely? Did He not freely give His Son? Did He not love us freely? Did He not freely not spare His own Son? And so, oh my. But I will say this. I will say this, that we owe Him our love. We owe Him our hearts. We owe Him our souls. We owe Him everything that we are. And then when we give Him that, we haven't given anything that He hasn't already given to us. Now, oh my. And grace is opposed to wrath. You can't have grace and God still be angry at you. Peace is the result of the work of grace in a person's heart. Grace in us, grace upon us. And thank God, when God brings grace to us, gives us His blessed grace, and we understand what grace is, and He gives us that, and He works grace in us, works grace upon us, grace through us, and gives us grace for grace. What peace of mind. Oh, what peace of mind. What peace of mind. To know that we have peace with God. I'll never forget, as long as I live, as long as I'm in my right mind, when I found out through studying the book of Romans, that God, when I started understanding what grace really was, I went for years trying to get on the good side of God. Trying to get God to quit being mad at me. And then I found out that He wasn't. Never was angry with me. And that because of Christ, God's not mad. And when I found out that God was not angry at me anymore, that Christ bore all the wrath of God away. Oh, peace like a river. Oh, my. And then look what it says. These blessings, the peace and grace, come from God our Father. God our Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace from the Father and it comes through the Son. No mere human being could be so closely associated with the Father that grace could be given to us and peace be given to us except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is making the Lord Jesus Christ to be equal with the Father in these blessings. Showing us that Christ and the Father are truly one. Truly, truly one. Oh my. To all that be in Rome, the called of Jesus Christ, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace and peace be unto you. Our blessed Lord, our blessed Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, our God and our Father, we bless You for Your Son. And oh, Son, we bless You that You showed the Father to us and made the Father known to us. And Holy Spirit, thank You for bringing the things of Christ to us and showing them to us. Oh, Lord, thank You for the gospel. Thank You for the truth. I pray that this was a blessing. That it has built up the saints in the faith and was an encouragement to them, a comfort to them. And Lord, as we go our ways this evening, go with us, protect us, and preserve us. As I always pray, Lord, keep us going in and coming out and going in, getting up and getting down. Oh Lord, protect us and preserve us for Christ's sake. Please be with our dear brother who is so sick, his dear wife who has to take care of him. And Lord, we pray for James, Daryl and Joyce, dear saints of God who'd be here if they were able. We thank You for them. God bless these dear saints as they go their way. For Christ's sake, amen. Amen. Well, good night and God bless you. Appreciate you very much.